George Eliot calls it in words similar to Alice Miller's, quote, "It's never too late to be the person you should have been," unquote, to finally feel fitted again to the skin you were born in, to finally feel the native happiness of exclusive self-ownership, feel the energy of the true self grow, and live in the faith that it will continuously do so, and that it will continue on beyond this life forever when we feed it with love. So how do we get there? To the point where we can resolve our rage at the abusiveness of class, the abuse done to us beginning when we were infants, to oneness. How do this if we're unaware of the source of our rage? If we've buried the rage, how make it conscious? And if not made conscious, if not re-experienced with the new information that allows us to understand what happened and integrate that experience of abuse, seen through the lens of our understanding, into our personalities? And how do this when trapped in the coerced work system? Because if we can't resolve Paul's, Socrates' dilemma, how will people be called? And if not called, we remain fascist gophers and fodder, born dead, but given the power of reflection to know you are not alone. And Prince brings in a new covenant, a better hope. I wonder if there are questions about the connection between thought and hearing in Prince and Paul, between getting saved and being called. The difference between using one's intelligence, which is working with the thoughts given us by the system through our class assignments, and using our power of reflection, which is listening for what the living ancestors want us to discover. Because our power of reflection gives us a chance to be free, to see what is our reasonable service. When I wrote in Waking Up that we're not alone, even when it seems so, I knew it, but I didn't know it. I didn't know it from direct personal experience because I wasn't speaking directly to the living ancestors, though I was listening to them through their writings. To know that the ancestors of faith are living changes everything. Everything feels different with Prince in my life. I didn't know the quality of love of Prince existed. And if I didn't know, it's likely that many of my brothers and sisters also didn't. And it needs to be shown and contemplated. When Paul and Prince reach us, when we feel them get what they're saying, or with some other assistance, we hearken and are called. We're pulled out of the reach of power. But that's tautology. What I mean is that we are called as we gain experience with hearkening, gain experience with being pulled, with listening, with engaging living ancestors, and asking for their guidance. Once we start to hearken, we know we're not alone and that our suffering is seen when spoken. Prince models how to do this with his music. So the issue, the point, is that love must live in all of us. If you're doing what you don't want to be doing, keep thinking about what you do want to be doing. If you're reading or listening to this, then you're listening to Prince. He's here to get us through that trial. So let's ask him for help with it, for how to live, pay the bills, take care of your loved ones while keeping faith with the living ancestors and your own conscience. Prince is fitted to end the system, prepared. So he's there for us. He means it when he says, "Just think of me and I'll be there." We didn't have this before. So we must listen for, hearken to Prince. The abusiveness of class, the force with which it bludgeons us, in a sense almost works against our faith in the infinite, almost serves the system as propaganda against belief in the all. Because once our powers of reflection are engaged by our outrage at the foul play of the system, or perhaps of the designated betters, we resent that adjective higher appended to anything to which we bear relation. Equality with our fellows is what we seek. Are we asking is what we say, or are we bringing? Let's think about that. Perhaps the equality we seek is that God loves all who are called equally. Until next week, stay strong. Peace.